each of us here this morning too. And I want to welcome everyone here this morning. I see some visitors here and happy to have you with us this morning. I have enjoyed being here with Lester's devotions. Appreciated that. And a good reminder for us to always keep our hearts and lives ready for when we meet Jesus, when he comes and meets us. And also Paul's testimony of how in Sunday school, how he was willing to do anything to serve God. He didn't let anything hinder him. And I appreciate that zeal. We need that more in my life. So yeah, I have been blessed to be here this morning. And I don't have a very long message to share this morning. And I'm looking forward to these youth being baptized. And it's just a very special service this morning. I hope by God's grace that I can make the message special too. So as I share this morning, I hope to encourage and bring more hope to you youth who are being baptized. I hope I can do that by God's grace. And I also hope to motivate us who have already been baptized to be encouraged by remembering what this means to us. As young people, you know, you youth, you may find yourself facing doubt and fearful anticipation this morning, which I believe is okay. That's normal. Yet I hope that, pray that you can take those feelings of doubt that you might feel now and let Jesus know that you are committed to serve him all your life. being baptized as a young Christian is like setting a landmark in your Christian life that you can look back to remind yourself of, especially when you face times of weakness, when you're struggling with doubt regarding your relationship with Jesus. And you can look back at this day and remember how you made a confession of your faith to all these witnesses about what Jesus has done for you. And being baptized is like acknowledging that you believe in Christ Jesus, and you're submitting yourself to the fact that the world may not count you popular. It's also a commitment to choose the way of the cross when you are faced with the commitment to take the way of Jesus, the narrow path. And we've all heard this said before, being baptized is an outward expression that publicly tells of the work that's going on in your heart and soul. And I would like to read from Romans 6 this morning for a passage. I'm going to read the entire chapter if you want to turn with us to that. This chapter, I never in the past recognized this chapter as a passage for baptism, but the first verses in there, it brings out a new angle, or not a new angle, it's an old angle, but it was new, it was a little bit different for me, and it really meant a lot to me as I was thinking about baptism. Romans chapter 6, a very familiar chapter. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have the dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness in the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This chapter is very much full of what has taken place in all of our lives, hopefully, at one time, and hopefully we have continued on to that. And you youth are going to make that confession public this morning, that this is what happened to you. Being baptized, it lets us know, it lets everybody know, and it's a confession that you're dead to sin. You made a choice to be dead to sin and alive unto God. And I just, there's so many different ways that it talks about that. This chapter represents in my mind what it means to be baptized. You know, when we are baptized, we are saying to all who witness that we have made the choice to die to sin, baptized unto his death, is what the scripture said, and also made the choice to put our faith in Jesus, raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. And this chapter has several examples of what it means to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Each of the examples that it gives associates dying to sin as being baptized unto his death. And thank God he doesn't leave us there, but always follows through with being raised up alive unto newness of life. And when we are baptized, when Brother William comes in, he baptizes you this morning. After he has baptized you, he will take your hand and raise you up. And as you kneel to have water poured, it can be symbolic of you being buried with him in baptism into death to sin. And when he takes your hand and raises you up, it can be symbolic of you with Christ being raised up from the dead unto newness of life. So now you are being raised up into a new life in Christ. And I know that happened when you made the decision to follow Christ. Baptism is not what does that. That it happens before baptism. This is symbolic, and it shows the world, everybody here, that you have made that choice this morning. It's like, I said before, a landmark. You can remember, as you look back at your baptism, as a memorial, as a time we publicly died to sin with Christ and are raised up with Christ in newness of life. I also like to look at my baptism that way, like this. I think of in all of us here this morning that have been baptized, we look at our baptism. I want us to look at it that way. This is a good thing that we have as Christians to remind ourselves of our position in Christ. Maybe that is why Jesus commanded Christians to follow up repentance and believing with baptism, to give us a reminder that we made a commitment to follow Jesus. Baptism is commanded by Jesus and is not an ordinance that any Christian denomination argues about being important to follow. All Christian organizations, all denominations in Christian churches, they don't argue whether baptism is important or not. Everyone in Christianity believes that it is a very important ordinance to follow. but because some churches can get off balance with what baptism is doing in your life, for example, some churches tend to connect baptism with membership as the whole reason for baptism. And another ditch that some churches may become off balanced is to think that baptism is when salvation in the Holy Spirit comes into your life. So I'm not saying that we actually do this, but saying it can begin to feel that way if we are not careful, depending on how we present what baptism does. So my concern this morning is that we are not off balance in any way in our thinking, and that this ordinance of baptism, I don't want it to lose its specialness. This is a very special ordinance, a very special occasion. We believe baptism is a commitment and a landmark in our relationship with Jesus and his bride, the church. And this is not a formality to become part of the church, but a very special occasion to publicly have other Christians see what Jesus is doing in your heart and soul, in all of our hearts and souls. So this morning, I want you youth who are being baptized to know that this is a very special occasion in your relationship with Jesus. And I want to remind us who have been baptized in the past that our baptism was a very special occasion in our relationship with Jesus too. If you're here this morning and you have felt that your baptism was not presented properly, I want you this morning to remember it's not too late to reflect upon it correctly now. You still can. You don't have to go back and redo that baptism. You can reflect upon your baptism correctly, however it was done back then. But just to clarify, I'm not speaking about infant baptism. I'm only speaking about a baptism that was administered after you believed in Jesus and came to faith in him. And I also want you to trust your baptism, whether it was from immersion or pouring. I believe God recognizes them both as relevant, and both can be argued scripturally, from the scripture. My point is that your baptism was a very special baptism occasion to God in your relationship with Jesus, and is to you, youth, this morning too. And I want to explain why I believe that this is a very special occasion for all Christians to reflect on. You know, this morning when these youth right here give their testimony about how they believe in Jesus, their thankfulness for what Jesus has done for them, and how they want to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ, there's going to be parents, grandparents, brothers and sisters, cousins, many brothers and sisters in the Lord that are going to hear these words. And it's going to have an emotional effect on all who hear the testimony. And why is that? Because we love them. It's because we care for them. Special. And we're so thankful that they are making the choice to be committed to follow Jesus. It will overwhelm some of us with thankfulness and praise for what God has done and what he has done in our lives and also the church here. And think about the joy and gratitude that we feel right here this morning, that we feel about these young people making this decision and confessing. That gives us an inner joy and gratitude that overwhelms us. And then try to imagine what Jesus, God's Son, must feel compared to us. You know, Jesus, who paid it all, he died for all our sins, and he loves us all so much. And we know how much that we love these youth, our children, and yet I believe that God's love is so much greater than what I'm able to love as a human, as a father. How must Jesus feel to hear and see the baptism of these young people? I believe Jesus is so happy to see these young people make this commitment. And that is why I feel this is such a special occasion. And as you reflect on your personal baptism, you know, I'm asking you to just forget about the imperfectness of how it may have been administered. And think about the joy that you caused Jesus back then when you were baptized, when you set that landmark, about your commitment. Think about what it meant to God the Father. The bride of Christ is the church. And young people who are being baptized into himself gives him such joy. It gives him more joy than what you and I can imagine. We can only, in Corinthians it says, you know, we see, hardly see now, but then we will see much more clearly. It'll amaze us. And I think that's the way it is in this. We don't understand, we cannot grasp how much joy that Jesus feels. About this, excuse me. In Luke, it says it, and it says it in other Gospels too. It says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 people that are already righteous that need no repentance. And I say unto you, there's, and then he says in verse 10 of that same chapter, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So I believe baptism is an extension of this because it's a public confession of what is going on in our hearts, what happened in our hearts, what's going on in these young people's hearts. And another thing, too, that I noticed as I read about, I read a lot of verses about being baptized and conversions, especially as we study in Acts. If you read through the New Testament, and you take note of the conversions of sinners to righteousness, of repenting, and being baptized, there's many examples of conversions, people coming to Christ, churches, groups of people coming to Christ and being baptized. And it's noted, I couldn't find any that this was not noted, but it's always noted, the joy that came over the people. The groups of people had such joy, and I'm convinced that great joy in heaven is in heaven over this special occasion. I believe that the joy that we feel this morning, even though we have tears, they're tears of joy and gratitude, it overwhelms us, but I believe it's a God-given joy that he gives to each of us. So I hope that the young people who are being baptized also, in each of us who have been baptized, that our faith can be renewed this morning in Jesus, what he did for us, and how much joy he is over our confession of faith. But I want to make this just a little more practical yet before I close. you know, it's easy for me to get excited about my own personal baptism when I think of it this way. And I also very much look forward to your youth being baptized. But I want to remind us of one practical truth about this chapter that we read in Romans 6. It talked about being buried with Christ by baptism and raised up with Christ, said dead unto sin and alive unto newness of life. Being dead to sin and alive unto Christ, I feel are truth, but they seem to be a little ideal. And, you know, their thoughts, their truths that will not happen automatically. They will not just happen by me saying, Jesus, come into my heart. They are truths that it takes a little more. Jesus gives us the power to do it. He makes us alive. But there's still something we must do. And as the brother recently spoke, I think I spoke about it a couple weeks ago, about a bridge to keep us, that has to span from that ideal thought to reality. And a bridge to keep us dead unto sin and alive unto Christ. I believe the bridge is simply our choices that we make when we are dealing with temptations and trials that we all face, and you already face, and you will continue to face. And every faithful and victorious Christian has to make choices every day. The choice not to sin, that we are dead, and the choice to repent when we fail, and the choice to believe we have been raised up into a living, a life for Christ, a life of holiness. And I just want to leave that as a practical thought. That bridge that will died into Christ, and that we are alive unto Christ, raised up with him, is simply a bridge of choice, of obedience. And I just want to help us to remember that that's the practical side of it, that we have to make that choice. And do that. Thank you for your attention.